Hallelujah. Well, it's good to see you all on a Monday night. We turn into Ephesians chapter 5. Oh, did I turn it on? I must have. Okay. Hallelujah. Let me explain to you a little bit about what's going on here. This is the 4th meeting of a new era, a new chapter in mine and Sue's walk with God. We've had several chapters. You'll probably have several chapters also. Seasons where he'll have you do things and then that'll come to an end and he'll have you do something else and then that'll come to an end. And so this is the beginning of a new season. We used to travel pretty extensively, you know. We've been all over the United States and Africa and Poland. I went to Korea 6 years in a row, preaching the gospel. And then in 2004, we both heard it about the same time. We knew that the Lord was saying, all right, that season's coming to an end for a while. You're not going to be traveling for a while. And I didn't know it at the time. I mean, I knew our parents are all getting elderly. Sue's daddy's already going to be with Jesus. Her mother's 87. And my dad went home to be with the Lord in February. He was 91. My mother's 90. So anyway, what started to happen what we didn't know. See, I hope y'all get this. Nothing ever takes the Lord by surprise. That may take you by surprise. But if you combine these two thoughts, nothing ever takes Him by surprise, and then the second thought is He is the God who answers before we call, you're going to live a life of peace.
Yes.
And security. I love that last song. I remember your faithfulness to Moses. I remember your faithfulness to David. Sue and I remember his faithfulness to us. You know? I mean, we still have opportunities let me just say it plain. You know, we're family, right? We can talk. It gets scary. You know, some of the things he'll have you do, it looks scary financially and other ways. You know, in the early days, I'll be honest with you, I had a harder time. I would worry. I couldn't hardly sleep at night in the early days. That period of time is when I like to refer to it as, those are the days when finances were staying away in great abundance. I mean, it was rough. And we didn't know where our next biscuit was coming from, you know. Sue, I've got a good wife. She'd tell me, she said, I want you to obey God. Whether we wind up sleeping under a bridge, wearing gunny sacks, I don't care. I want you to obey God, you know. Well, that's good, but still, you know, I feel responsible as the head of the house, and I'd have trouble sleeping at night, and I'd get up and walk the floor, pray in tongues, trying to get my mind just to settle down, you know, get the Psalms out especially. I really recommend the Psalms and that you say them out loud when you're under that kind of pressure. But see, now let's fast forward all these years. That was back in basically 95, 96, 97, those days. And now, I have really sometimes bigger trials financially should be more scary. And I'll be going, shouldn't I be worried? Wait a minute, something's wrong here. You know, this is serious. I should be worried. But see, the thing of it is, after you've seen the Lord deliver you about 1,000 times, you know, He's proved Himself faithful again and again and again and again. Even your own soul starts going, He might be trustworthy. Maybe we can trust Him. You know? Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
You know? So, normally what we used to do when we'd travel, like here or anywhere, we would send out flyers ahead of time. You know, we have people that love the ministry. And if they knew we were here, so I may get in trouble with some of them because we didn't do it this time, but we used to send out these flyers to anyone that lived like within a 50 or 100-mile radius of the church. In case they wanted to come, they could come. So I was about to do that this time. And the Lord says, no, I don't want you to do that. I said, what? Everybody does. See, here you go. You know, everybody does that. We've done that. He said, no. And the first word I heard was like this. He said, these will be home meetings. Home meetings. He says, I'm going to bring who I'm going to bring there. And if you'll obey me, every one of them is going to receive what they need from me. Okay. So So we, you know, we could have filled the place up better, you know, if we'd go it by the way of man. But see, it wouldn't matter to me if there's six, you know, three or four, five, six people here. It doesn't matter. What matters is to hear the Lord and then obey the Lord. See, everybody, when they first start on this path, we will get to Ephesians eventually. My job is to follow him, and no matter what he does. And see, when they first start hearing the message of the prayer center, what we call the message, you know, praying in other tongues and spending time in worship and meditation of the Word. Well, they all basically, when they first start hearing, whether they move there or whether they just attach themselves to that message and begin doing it, they all basically have the same problem in the beginning. Brother Gary, I have a problem. Well, what's your problem? My problem is I can't hear God. Well, here, do this message. Sit right here. Read this book. We give them Dave's book, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. Read this book and, you know, epoxy your britches to this chair and start spending time praying in other tongues. Learn to meditate the Word in whole images. We'll give them the fundamentals, you know. Maybe have them listen to one of Dave's series on Tongues for the Believer, or Bronx series, anyone that's teach. It's not who teaches it. It's the truth that gets taught. That's what changes people, see. Well, see, their first problem when they, you know, I can't hear God. A few months down the road, they've got a bigger problem. Well, Brother Gary, I got a problem. It's bigger than the one I had when I first started. What's your problem now? I heard God. And you're not going to believe what he said to me. Yeah, I probably will too. Me and Jimmy Miller, we tease all the time. He's an evangelist. Well, now he's a pastor. He's pastoring a church now. He used to be a missionary to Poland. We went over there and ministered with them. We were talking about this one day. He says, someday you and I need to start a Bible school, and we're going to name it God, You Said What? Because when you really start hearing from God, do you know he thinks he is God? Do you know he talks to me like I have money? He talks to me like I have endless resources. Like, yes, my son, let's go do this. And I'm going, have you looked at our bank account? He says, have you looked at mine? One time we were going to be on Sid Roth's program and down here in Florida. And we hadn't been in ministry very long at the time. How many of you know who Sid Roth is? Okay, a lot of you don't. He's a Jewish Christian. He was raised Jewish and got born again. He's a Christian now. So he has a TV program, TV and radio. It's Supernatural. It's called It's Supernatural. And it goes everywhere. I mean, it's broadcast all over the East Coast and over into Israel. And he really has a ministry to reach Jews for Jesus. That's really what he's doing. So people that have an unusual testimony of some kind, maybe they got supernaturally healed, or maybe, you know, they got some other kind of miracle. Well, with us, it was the finances and how God was using us, you know. So that, anyway, they invited us to come on the program. And so I'm on the phone with one of his manager. I wasn't him directly. Said, no, we'd like for you to come. We'll pay your motel. And I'm so glad they're saying this, because we wouldn't have known how to do it. We'll pay your motel room when you get here. And I'm going, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. This was during the days when money was staying away. And she was telling me all about it. It'd be a 30-minute program. We'll rehearse it and we'll just show you how to do it. Now, the way they normally do that, every minister that's on there at the end of their 30 minutes, normally what they'll do is they'll put two items of theirs, like maybe two cassette tapes, available for sale. And, you know, and so if a minister has 16,000 messages, you go, well, which two would you like to offer? And we'll promote those. And so they'll offer them for, like, I don't know, $5 a piece. I don't know what it is now. Maybe, I think then it was $5 a piece. $3 each went to the minister, and $2 each went. You know, it's just the way the world does things, you know. But see, we had learned to hear the Lord and obey the Lord. And so the Lord had told us, make everything free. So the lady's asking me, says, now what two products would you like for us to sell at the end of the program? I said, well, we don't have anything to sell. We've got a lot of teachings on, this was in the days of cassette tapes. I said, we've got a lot of teachings on cassette tapes. I guess we could offer a couple of them for free. Just offer two, you know, I'll pick out two of my favorites and we'll offer them to the people for free. Got real quiet on the phone. She said, now, I always know I'm in trouble when they come with this. Now, Reverend Carpenter. Uh-oh. She says, are you aware that the Sid Roth program, the viewing audience, the potential audience is 16 million people? Are you really prepared to offer two of your cassette tapes free to a viewing audience of 16 million people? Now, here's the difference between your natural soul and your spirit. My natural soul was screaming, no, we're not willing to do that. What's wrong with you? You think I just fell off the turnip truck? You think I'm crazy? Of course we're not going to do that. What's wrong with you? But I'd learned to restrain my soul. There was such a silence. And I'm listening. I was so glad at that moment for every moment I had ever spent praying in tongues, fasting. I'm listening with everything in me for the answer to this question from God. And I heard it. And I told her. Now my soul is still screaming. She says, are you really willing to offer your two of your cassette tapes free to that many people? I said, my father says he can afford it. Click. Scared us half to death, you know. Here we go down there, and because they're wanting us to provide the tapes. See, you understand what I'm saying? And so if only one... So, well, maybe only 10%. That's 1.6 million tapes. You know? Maybe it's only 1%. That's still 16. You know, that's a lot of tapes. Well, we went ahead and did it, and the Lord blessed it. And thank God, 16 million people did not order two tapes. But it went way up. I'm telling you, our volume went way up. And that's we had to start really believing God. That's about the time He told us to start increasing our confession by about $4,000 a month. I like to ask this. One time, apparently He didn't like my message, so He's just going to do His. So. He acts like He's God, you know. I mean, you know, I just work here. So, let me get that bottle of water right there, if you don't mind. Thank you, sir. See, the thing that matters on this walk, I think the reason why He's going this way, you have access to the best teaching on earth. If you go to this church, you have access to the teaching of Pastor Bronk. My friend over here, I'm so gone, I can't even think of hardly my... Homer, thank you. I can't hardly think of my wife's name. It's Sue. I know it's Sue, but... When he takes me over like this, and I've prayed for years to get this way, and I'm, you know, leave crazy alone. I'm okay, you know. Whether I'm beside myself, it's still for the gospel. It doesn't matter. But see, I think the reason He's doing this, we could get into all the technicals of the Word of God, but you have access to that. That's what Homer and Bronk are bringing all the time. It's what Pastor Dave brings. It's what I do all the time. When He said home meetings, we don't have very many opportunities to gather like this where we can just talk. And I think what Sue and I at this point in our ministry, see, we've been at this a long time now. We pretty well know what works, what doesn't work. Let me tell you what works. What works is paying the price. The first word that ever came through Pastor Dave at the very first service at the prayer center, the first prophecy, the first thing that God said by way of the Holy Spirit through Dave, I wish I'd have brought a copy of it, but the title is called Endurance is the Key. I look at these young people over here, my God, what they already know at their young age. Sue and I, we didn't even get exposed to this. Here's another one. We didn't even get exposed to this message till we were 45 years old. And still yet, the acceleration of the Holy Spirit, learning how to pray in other tongues and letting Him begin adjusting and setting let Him blow the His wind into our sails to set the course of our ship. I mean, in a short amount of time. He took two ordinary... If you're around us, you're going to find out we're as ordinary as they come. We're just plain people. But He took two ordinary people. I was driving trucks for a living. She was basically a housewife. And those are... You know, that's great. But I mean, in less than 2 years, He changed us, taught us, molded us, transformed us, put us into ministry. We had no idea that just praying those tongues in those early days that included there was, who knew was going to Africa was included in that? Who knew going to Poland? Who knew 6 years going to South Korea? And then when you start ministering and the gifts of the Spirit start showing up, I was going to say, let me tell you what works. This message is what works. Yes. Praying in other tongues is what did it. We loved Jesus. We were born again and Spirit-filled for 12 years before we ever heard this. So the only real thing that changed was adding the praying in tongues and meditating in whole images. That was the two things that really changed. And I want you to know, it completely, the next 12 years were so different than the 12 we had just gone through. We had a little bit of fruit. We would do a few things, but my God, send us around the world. And then the gifts of the Spirit start showing up. I don't know how many, I don't know what all you guys have heard about how the Lord has used us over the years. But listen, you know it says in 1 Corinthians 12, we focus on 1 Corinthians 13 because that's the pinnacle. That's love. You know, the love chapter. You ever read the love chapter in the Amplified? Just kills you dead, doesn't it? Doesn't it just kill you dead, you know? That's God's kind of love. That's what He's transforming us to. But you know, it does say at the end of chapter 12, it says covet. You know, we're normally told not to covet. But there, it's the same word, covet, earnestly, the gifts. Man, you start getting overseas or getting, when God starts sending you into these scary places, see? When He says, you start hearing, my first problem was I couldn't hear Him, okay? Right? That we have messages for you. We can solve that problem for you. You can get to where you can hear Him. After you start hearing Him, that's where you're going to have the bigger problem. Because then come, you got to be transformed enough to obey Him. See, transformation to obey Him. That's her. People get on to me all the time because they say I'm against the tithe. I'm not against the tithe. I think if the word tithe means 10%, right? If you're talking about giving 10%, I think that's a wonderful place to start. I'm just not, I'm against tithing or doing anything else under the law of Moses. That's all I'm against, see? See, I'm not against the tithe. Could you start really hearing from Jesus? You'll be begging to have that tithe back. Yeah? You'd be begging, please let me have the tithe back. We had an incident one time. Now this, we had been in ministry for maybe full, I don't know, 5 years or something, and finances were better, and we, you know, the ministry had more finances than we had personally. You know, we had enough to cover our budget to live on. And we're in church one day, minding our own business, and during the service, the Lord starts pointing out this lady, and He says, and I don't want you to think I was totally ignorant. We knew this lady, and we knew enough about her to know she was behind on her bills. But you figure $200 or $300, you know, you don't know. You know, I knew enough to know she was behind on her bills. Well, the Lord started dealing with us. She started hearing Him. He says, now, at the end of this service, I want you to sign a blank check and give it to her. And tell her to go home and total up all her bills. And tell her just to fill in the amount and put it in the bank and pay her bills. How many of y'all want to give somebody a blank check on you? Well, I'm thinking maybe $200 or $300, you know, and I didn't know exactly how much we had in the account. I knew he was doing pretty good right at that time. So I go over, and after the service, Sue and I were talking to her, and oh my God, you know, I mean, the reward is her countenance and everything. So I told her just what I told you, now go home, add up your bills, and I've already signed a check, and you can just put in the amount, put it in your bank, and then you can pay your bills. So we're walking away, and she goes, is there any limit? She said, it's a lot. Here we go again, my soul. $100 is all you get. You can't go above $100 because I knew he had $100 and we can handle $100. And I'm, you know, you learn to listen instead. And these words came out of my mouth. She heard them when I heard them. Keep it under $5,000. I didn't even know if we had $5,000, to be honest with you, in the ministry account. I did not know if we had $5,000. But see, the Holy Ghost knows. The Holy Ghost knew. Sure enough, there was enough in there. That check, if I remember right, it's been so many years. If you hear me tell this on a previous tape, that one's right. But the ballpark, the essence of this is right. It was right around $4,900. You'd be begging to have the tithe back, see? See what I'm saying? You start following God, it's wonderful and scary as all get out. It's wonderful and scary. It's adventures in God, you know? Adventures in God. Can you tell that Sue and I didn't die from that episode? Can you tell we haven't missed a whole lot of meals or anything, you know? He's taking good care of us. We drive we got two cars and live in a nice house. And he's taking good care of us. But the goal of these meetings like this is not, we need the Word of God. Homer and I, man, and Bronk, you want to really get our juices flowing, you just set the three of us around a table, put a big old pot of coffee right in the middle, we'll pound the table, talk about God till dawn, you know. I love breaking down the Word and going through the Word, but then there comes the time of the application of the Word. See, the fruit, the kingdom of God, this kingdom of God is supposed to bear fruit in the earth. I was asking him one day, and he said, son, hang on, I've got to get permission here. Okay. Is that all right with you? Okay. Yes, sir. Okay, I forgot that. Yeah. I was about to go on without telling you about the gifts of the Spirit. Remember me mentioning that a while ago? So he's doing one of those recalibrating. You ought to teach on that more. I've already taught it. I heard him teach it, and I already taught it like God gave it to me. So hallelujah. Covet earnestly the best gifts. The first way, our experience has been one of the first. When you really start hearing God and obeying God, He's going to have you ministering to people somehow, because that's what the kingdom is about. The kingdom is about people. This whole thing, God. Why hasn't Jesus already come? You can find it out in the book of James. He says He's waiting on something. Peter talks about it too. He's waiting on the precious fruit of the earth. You know, well, that's people, and He's still populating heaven with people. That's why He hadn't come yet.
Yes, sir.
Well, when you do this message enough to where you can hear Him and then be transformed enough to start obeying Him, it's going to have something to do with people. Well, and then usually what happened with us, the gifts of the Spirit start showing up. And you'll start learning that you're not alone in this. You know, I taught yesterday about Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to send you another comforter. Well, that comforter is the Holy Spirit, and with Him comes the gifts. And you need to know this. The gifts, you qualify to operate in the gifts 1 second after you're born again and baptized with the Holy Ghost. You qualify. And the reason I say that, there's no maturity required for that, because you can read in 1 Corinthians 3, what did Paul tell them? He said, you're babies. I'd like to give you meat. I'd like to give you meat. All I can do is give you milk. You're like little thumb-sucking babies, you know. And he says, but you know, in the previous chapter, he says you come behind and no gift. And that same letter is where we have most of our information about the gifts of the Spirit. You know, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom. What began to happen with us? I remember I was doing a little service, a Sunday night service there at the church in Tulsa. And we don't normally have prayer lines at that night service. It's calling in the lost. But this lady came up afterwards. I didn't know her, and she says, "Would you pray for me?" I said, "Well, sure. What's the matter?" And we were approaching Thanksgiving time, and she says, "Well, my parents, they live in another state. I only get to see them once a year. They come in at Thanksgiving time, Every year, then they come. You know, we love each other, but somehow we wind up in a fight. We get to arguing with each other. And by the time they leave, you know, they're mad and I'm mad. And then I hate it after they're gone. And I know they do too. And then it's another whole year before we get together. So would you pray that this year when they come, we'd have peace in the house?" So I'm fixing, sure, I'll pray for you, lady. And so I'm fixing to do a Gary prayer. You know what a Gary prayer is? It's the same prayer you'd pray, you know. Oh God, I thank you, the great shalom, that your peace will come. You know, I don't know, whatever you'd pray. You know, how do you pray in a case? Just pray what she asked, you know. And I'm fixing to pray for her. And I hear the voice of the Lord. I hear the Holy Ghost. He was asking me last night, how does it come? In the early days, it pretty. I would hear it. I'm just hearing. You hear a sentence in your head. And he said, this time it was part of a verse. The problem was the part of the verse I was hearing seemed to have absolutely nothing to do with her request. So I shrugged it off. Trust me, you can shrug off obedience to the Holy Ghost. Trust me. Gary, how do you know that? Going on. Trips to the barbershop. Going on. I started to pray for her again. Oh, thou great Shalom. You know, and I heard that same thing again. So I said, ma'am, every time I get ready to pray for you, or miss, every time I get ready to pray for you, I hear part of a verse. But the problem is, it doesn't seem to me to have anything to do with what you're, you know, what you asked me about. But every time I get to pray for you, I hear it again. Can I share it with you? And she said, well, sure. So I said, well, what I'm hearing is this. Eat what is set before you. She took a step back like I'd slapped her in the face with a wet washcloth, you know. I could tell it meant something to her. And, you know, she looked at me like, you know, like anger. Anger for a moment flashed. And then she went, you don't know. You don't know. You don't know, do you? And I said, I guess I don't. She says, well, what you don't know is I'm a vegetarian. And my parents are not. And they come at Thanksgiving time. And they want to have all the traditional thing with the turkey and the dressing. And I'm always going, well, I'm this year I'm not going to say anything, but I always wind up saying it. And I start telling them how bad that is for them. And that's what breaks out the fight. And I said, well, now listen. You can be a vegetarian if you want to. That's okay. If you choose to do that, that's your choice. But listen, you came up here asking for the Lord's help to have peace in your house. And He is telling you plain, if you want to be His minister to your parents at Thanksgiving, now you can be a vegetarian the other 364 days a year. But He is plainly telling you, you yield to your parents on that day and you eat what is set before you. Now see, that's called a word of knowledge coupled with a word of wisdom. First, I had no earthly way. How would you know that? How would anybody know that? Except by the Holy Ghost. And then what to do about it too. Isn't that wonderful? It started happening more and more. Sue could give you example after example. One time she was going to give the Lord. Here, you come tell it, Sue. The time that He told you. You know.
Well, this went on for quite some time. Him teaching us, training us how to give by His voice. And anybody that's called to be a gospel entrepreneur, does everybody know what I mean by that? For the person through whom the Lord can funnel huge amounts of money through to wherever He says and how much He says and when He says, all of that's important. And it takes no less leading and guiding by the Holy Spirit and hearing Him than it does in any other of the gifts. And being dead to the love of money and control that it has on people and not using it to hurt people. Because it's a tool for evangelism, for the people of God to accomplish things on this earth that need to be done before Jesus comes, for them to know that they are people who have an inheritance from the Father, that they're not sharecroppers. Do you understand? Okay. This one particular time, He told me to give a specific amount to a lady at the church who had four or five kids. And I said, well, Father, I don't think I have that much in my purse. And right at that second when I said that, the lady that was a row up from me and to my left handed back to me some money in her hand. she gave it, she said, this is for you. And it was more than, I looked at it, it was a little bit more than what he had told me to give the other lady. And I said, well, I'll just give her all of it, Father. And he said, no, that would be adding to my word.
Did you hear that?
And he will do that. You never add to his word. You can come up with all kinds of things when you start hearing the Holy Spirit's instructions, and it's not just with money. There are whole denominations who have all kinds of false doctrine that may have at one time heard or believed God at a certain level. But then because of their reasonings, they allowed that to be added to what God had told them or shown them. And so they come up with all this man-made religion. And you can find it in any denomination that you go to. But he's told me not to give food to someone before. He's yelled it. I mean, to where I would, and then he's had us take food to people, just clean out our cupboards and take food to people who needed it so bad and we didn't have any other way of knowing. Or you all know Gary a little, that the Lord has told us how important it is that we hear Him and obey Him when it comes to giving. Now, your soul wants to help everybody that you come across that needs help financially. For pastors, it is so hard for pastors because they see all this need everywhere and they want to so much help with everything. But they have to hear God too.
Right.
I mean, it's important that the people look to the Lord. They learn to look to the Lord and not to any human being. Because it's easier for people to look to human beings that are right before their eyes to get their needs met. It always is. That's the way people are. Than it is to look to a God that they cannot see with their physical eyes to get their needs met. So, but
I was trying to tell him about the time he was going to give that food to the man down in Taconia.
Well, that was just another instance. I saw this homeless man on the sidewalk, and I had just come out of an eating place, and I started to take him what I had in the container. And the Holy Spirit said, no, real loud in me. I would have thought it'd come from outside, but I mean, he scared me. And what it reminded me of, I told Gary later, what it reminded me of is when a parent, like if you see a child run out into the street or start to touch a hot something, you know, and you want to scare them, or you're scared yourself and you know that scaring them will stop them. So, and that's what it reminded me of. And I don't know if the man was dangerous or not. See, there have been so many instances I've seen Gary just sob because God had told us not to give this dear person that we loved so much, not to give them money. We wanted to so much. But they too were in a training process. And you find out later, sometimes he'll allow you to find out later particulars that will help you, you know what he's doing. You get a little inkling of what he's doing. He doesn't give you all the details of everything, but there's been times, just like you probably have had happen, where he's told you to give when you just, that would take everything that you have, you know, to help somebody. You just do it anyway, and he replaces it and gives you more. He's faithful to do it. It takes a while of obeying him. You learn obedience a little at a time, just like children. When you're born into the kingdom of God, you just learn a little at a time. You learn where you are. First, Jerusalem. Men and women, you got to understand, for husbands and wives, and I always want to help husbands and wives, because they sometimes have the mistaken idea that it's my ministry is that. But when you're married, you're one flesh. God does never divide your one flesh in a marriage. It's one calling with different manifestations working through both of you. And you learn obedience first in the family. See, you learn to hear him with your children, with your spouse. You learn first Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the outermost parts of the earth. So you learn it where you are. When you come into the kingdom of God, learn to hear his voice. And I don't know how you can grow up in him without those mistakes. I just haven't found any way around it. I haven't seen anybody else manage to get around the mistakes that you make either. That's how you learn. You know, thinking that you heard God tell you this, find out it wasn't him. You know, and don't give up. You just keep doing it and obeying him in everything. And he can trust you with more and more, not only of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't administer the gifts of the Holy Spirit in love. So many people have this idea. We hear people call all the time. They're called to be a prophet. But they look at the Old Testament examples. That's always for unborn again people. Never forget, everything changed when Jesus died. Everything.
Amen. Go, baby, go. You're doing a good job. No, you go. I'm serious. That's good, isn't it? No, seriously. This may be part of the new era. It may be. I want to show you in the Word that, because I heard somebody questioning, where is that in the Word not to give to somebody? Go to Luke somewhere. Go to Luke 17, I think it is. No, 16. And it's right in one of the most familiar passages. Everybody knows the prodigal son. Maybe it's Luke 15. Sorry, Luke 15. Okay, starting in verse 11, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Isn't that polite? The elder son later says, he spent your money on harlots. But anyway. And when he had spent all, now notice, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, If you underline in your Bible, you ought to underline those next few words. And no man gave unto him. If you write notes in the margin, you ought to go, thank God. Thank God. There's a lot of enabling going on. A lot of enabling going on. I heard the Lord say to Norval, I heard him first say it, said, don't give steak to those I have put on husks. Did you hear that? Some people have to hit bottom. Some people have to hit bottom and bounce a couple of times before they'll finally repent. See, what has to happen to a person, male or female, they have to come to the place, my way is not working. My way is not working, see. And because we love, especially if it's our children, or it doesn't even have to be your children. We've had that same, like Sue said, I cried big tears, and it wasn't a relative of ours. And I wanted to help them so bad. But the Lord was saying, no. And there's a difference between you. Don't try and judge the situation. The normal thing that you'll find, we could teach on this, if you see a brother or sister destitute of daily food and clothing, and you don't give them the things needful for the body, what good is that? Another, John, I think, says, if you see them hungry like that, and you just walk by, how abides the love of God in you? But see, that's talking about food and clothing. It's not talking about that Lexus that they can't afford. He didn't call me to make your Lexus payments if you can't afford a Lexus, you know. You understand what I'm saying? So, and then others, he's not calling me to supply money for your drugs. You need to hit rock bottom sometimes. And then bounce a time or two and figure, my way is not working. Because only then can you truly repent in your heart. That's what happened here. Did the father love this boy? This is one of my favorite passages here. He says, no man gave unto him, verse 17, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. No, this is a repentant heart. This is that's what's required. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. Now this part broke me years ago. It still breaks me now. But when he was yet a great way off,
yes, sir.
His father saw him.
Yes, sir.
His father saw him and had compassion and ran. People say, will God take me back? He'll run to you. Just have that same heart. Just repent. I'm so sorry. Lily one time did something. Just my little precious Lily was 3 years old and scared Papa really bad, you know. And then later she come and she put her head. I was sitting on the couch. She come and put her head on my knee and she said, Papa, I am so, so sorry. At that moment, do you want a pony? What is your, everything I have is yours. I mean, this is a family. This is a family. How did that father see that boy way off there? Because he was out there looking for him. If heaven's got a porch, the father was out there going, maybe today's the day my boy's coming back. Maybe today. Maybe today's the day. God, I love God. Can you tell? Can you tell? He's so good. He's so good. Well, I want to get... I just want you to know there's scripture for everything that we're teaching. He's having us do it in a different mode tonight and share with you from the heart, just family member to family member, some experiences. Now, I want you to start, if you're not already having them, if you need to start expecting and more than that, coveting the gifts of the Spirit in your life. And I'm telling you, the gifts of the Spirit, I've had them as much out of the services as I have in the services. You can have a word of knowledge at the Walmart. You know? You can have... It's everywhere you go.
Remember, it's all about people.
If you're going to talk, baby, you have to do it this way, honey. I mean, she's not used to this. See, now can start again.
It's all about the people, so it's wherever you go. He will work through you in words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy in the sense that he will tell you to speak over people that you see go by you, people you see in the mall, for instance, or supermarkets, or he'll have you prophesy out loud. You may not stand on the soapbox and proclaim it at the top of your lungs, but he will have you speak over them in Jesus' name.
Absolutely.
And that will give him the authority to move into their situation, where you may be the only way that he can get in those people's lives. They may not have anyone in their family praying for them at all. See? And all he wants is your authority. And if he can get you to where he can use you anytime he sees, as you walk, you find out his love for people. So here in this world, see, you run into all of these people, depending on where you are. Say like in the bar. Hopefully you wouldn't run into them. Here you have all of these people. Do y'all ever watch Jerry Springer show?
No.
I'm telling you.
I wouldn't tell you.
that's what I'm saying. That's exactly right. But I was thumbing through the channels. At the motel, we were trying to find the weather channel or a news channel or something. And I watched it for a few minutes, and I've done that before. I've gone by there, you know, and it's like the devil has been able to so get people to such a degraded state that it's they need help so bad, but the devil has been able to do that to such a degree in those people's lives, but it's like that all over the world, see. And here are all of these priceless jewels that God sees, and they've been so damaged by people, by circumstances, by life, by demonic spirits working in their lives continually, you know. And he just loves them so much. And when you get born again and you're growing up in the things of God, you have difficulty with the love of God to the degree that like some people, Gary has talked about the inclusion. Well, if God so loves people, then he doesn't want anybody going to hell, you know, and stuff like that. Get all confused about, okay, then you shouldn't send people to prison. No matter what they do, you know, if you love them. You think of it as a mushy-gushy kind of, it's okay no matter what you do, you know. It's not like that at all. If people refuse to be led by the Spirit or refuse the new nature of God that God gives them, then they have to be under the law. See, it's one or the other. So, I don't know what else to say.
Okay.
I don't.
But you're doing really good, I'll tell you that.
Well, just being led by the Holy Spirit, see, in everything that you do, you will allow God, you will allow the Holy Spirit to deliver people through you, to let them know how precious they are. He'll tell you, you go tell that person that I know exactly what they're going through. Or go tell that person, I saw what they were doing yesterday, or whatever it is he tells you, but be sure it's him. Don't be sure you don't come up with something on your own. you get in big trouble with that. As he learns to, as he knows he can trust you, see, you prove yourself. Obedience, 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 until he knows that you will do what he tells you to do. It's like a child that we give more and more responsibility to. See. Anyway, that's it. Just learn. Just don't give up. Don't give up learning to hear the Holy Ghost. Don't get discouraged because you miss it a few times. Just don't give up.
I think she's going to start again. We shared this with Jonathan here in a little private moment that we had. We tell the story all the time at the prayer center about the barbershop. See, because what Sue's talking about is don't give up. Nobody starts off batting 1,000 on this. Okay? So Dave tells this story, and you can't improve on it, and it fits. He says, now, this fella came to the prayer center one time, hypothetical. This fella came to the prayer center and he did the message. I mean, everything that Dave teaches, he did. He meditated the word. He epoxied his britches to a chair. He prayed in other tongues. He did some real fasting and he did everything that you're supposed to be doing. And then one day, he heard God. Then he come to report to Dave. He says, Dave, I did what you said and I heard God. And what Dave says, what did he say to you? He told me to go to the barbershop at 2:00 in the afternoon. And there would be a man sitting in the barber chair that I'm supposed to witness to and win him to Jesus. Well, what happened? Well, when I got there, the barber shop was closed. Dave, why would God send me to the barber shop at 2:00 in the afternoon when he knew it was closed? And the answer is, God didn't say that to you. See, that's just as important. To learn those things, that lesson is as important as any other lesson you're ever going to learn. See, there's three sources. There's your own natural reasoning you can hear from there. There's God, you can hear from Him. And then there's demonic activity and you can hear from them. And I don't know anybody who has learned to walk this walk that hasn't had their own trips to the barbershop at 2:00 in the afternoon. You've had your trips. I've had my trips. We've all had our trips. And say, well, how do you ever get past it? Be honest with you, experience gets you past it. You just keep on. Endurance is the key. Here we go again. Endurance is the key. See? So, don't be afraid. Now, if you hear a voice telling you to jump off of the pinnacle, you might, don't do that one. But anyway. Okay, I want you to be anticipating. Apparently, he wants you to be anticipating more than you are, to be available for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I keep hearing and seeing this one again. The first time that the Lord ever used me in what I would call a gift of healing, and again, it was at a small service. Probably wasn't 20 people there. And this lady, again, is a different lady, came up after the service and wanted to know if I could pray for her. She was having real bad back pain. Now, I'm just telling you, I just did exactly what I'd seen Dave do 100 times, you know. I said, well, sit down here in a chair. Set her down in a chair. And I said, now, extend your legs forward. She extended her legs forward. I made sure I didn't do any manipulation, you know, right or left or anything. And sure enough, one of her legs was about maybe an inch and a half shorter than the other one. So I got down on my knees, you know, just like I've seen Dave do. On the inside, now here's your soul again. Who do you think you are? This works for Dave. God loves Dave. You know how you are. You know. What do you think God's going to do this for you? What's the matter with you? You know, you didn't do any fasting. You know you did not do any fasting. You know. All of those thoughts, whatever it is with you, you know, it's going through you. Am I telling the truth, Homer? And I mean, on the inside, you talk. Listen. Faith has got very little to do with your head. Yes. Doubts run through your head like machine gun bullets, one thought after another, you know. I just, on the inside, so it's always, this is my favorite prayer in a situation like this. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Anyway. So I get a hold of her ankles, you know, and there's one, I'm looking right at it, and one leg is, boy, about an inch or an inch and a half shorter than the other one. And, of course, I'm, you know, I'm closing my eyes. I don't even want to look. I close my eyes and I go, in the name of... And I don't even know if I got Jesus out. And I felt that short ankle slide across my palm. I felt it slide across. It got longer. I opened my eyes and looked, and they were the same. I looked at her. I was astonished. She was looking back at me. She was astonished. I said, did you do that? She said, no, did you? I said, there must be somebody else here. It just grew out. Just whew. I said, well, get up and see how it feels. And she got up and said, oh, my goodness. I haven't been this pain-free in I don't know how long. Just supernatural gifts of healings. That can happen at Walmart. It can happen at the school. It can happen anywhere. Now, what the Lord doesn't want you to start having is the gift of suspicion or the gift of judgment. The prophetic office is different in our dispensation than it was in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, Joe Wallpaper and Mary Public, is that how he says it? Mary Public and Joe Wallpaper couldn't hear God on their own. You had to go to the king, the priest, or the prophet in order to hear God. And usually even the king had to go to the priest or the prophet. But in our dispensation, you know, we'll get into Hebrews before the week is out. God has written His law in your heart and in your mind. And every believer has the capacity to hear God for themselves. So the office of the prophet is quite different than it used to be. Dave says it like this. He says, you know, hopefully if I'm doing my part and I'm spending my time in fellowship with God and He's trying to get something across to me, I should be able to hear Him. I should be able to get it either by vision, by revelation, or by voice somehow. But he says, you know, if he keeps trying to tell me and somehow I don't want to hear that. Somehow I've got it blocked. You talk to me in other areas, God, but I don't want to hear you talk to me in that area. And somehow God can't get it through to him. Do you know he will send a prophet if he has to? And Dave says, you know, it's like in Dave's position, he says, it's like an embarrassment that if God has to send me a prophet after all these years. But what I find is, we do still have prophets, the office of the prophet today. And God does talk to them in ways that are different than Joe Public and Barry Wallpaper, excuse me. But the office of the prophet is like this. I know a few of them now. I used to only know one. I know a few prophets. Listen, even if he starts schooling you as a calling in the prophet, he has not called you to the office of judgment. He's not called you to the office of suspicion. And I'll tell you this, he's not called you to the office of tattling. I can't tell you in a prayer line. Now don't be afraid when I tell you this. I can't tell you, it doesn't happen all the time, but it happens a lot of the time. In the prayer line, the words of wisdom and the words of knowledge, mostly that come by vision now. I'll see pornography under the bed. I'll see stepping out on the wife. I'll see drinking when nobody knows you're doing it. I see internet fingers. And I know what's going on. And seldom ever, I mean like almost never, does God have me say anything. Because the Holy Spirit is not interested in embarrassing you. The Holy Spirit is interested in helping you and getting you past whatever stronghold you're in. So even when He gives you a word of knowledge, you still have to ask Him what you're supposed to do with that. He may just be having you pray. He may be having you take money to Him. He may be having you help them. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons that He could be giving you that word of knowledge. But listen, with practice, just don't be afraid of mistakes. And with practice, it's a wonderful thing. I'm going to finish with this one. Boy, we didn't even do Ephesians once, did we? I'll just work here. This was quite a few years ago, and money wasn't staying away in quite such abundance, but we still, we had some surplus. And it was getting pretty late at night, Suddenly, I don't remember exactly how it came up now. It's been so many years ago. We both knew we were supposed to take some groceries to this couple. And it was getting like after dark. And do it like right now. And we have a cupboard in our garage where, you know, Sue is great at sales. Man, I mean, boy, if they're having corn $6 for $1, we buy corn, you know, load it up or whatever. So we had all kinds of staples like that. So we called them. Well, she's gathering up stuff in the sacks. I called this couple, and they had two wonderful little children, cute as a button. They used to go to the prayer center all the time. How old were they at the time? seven, eight, nine. And the brother, he would pray for the sister. He'd lay hands on her, just like Dave. He said, "Father, release your glory in her now." So cute. Anyway, he said, "Hey, can we come over for a little while?" And we didn't tell him why we was coming. You know, said, "I know this is unusual, but we'd never been there. I had to get their address. I knew they lived in Broken Arrow, which is a town about 30-minute drive from where we were." I said, "Sure, okay, come on out." Well, I've never been in their neighborhood. Now, here we got sacks and sacks of groceries. And here we come. When I see their house, I see the neighborhood first, and I'm going, this neighborhood is a lot nicer than our neighborhood where we live. Pull up to their house, see the address. The car parked in the driveway is 10 years newer than our car. And now here goes the soul again. "God, are you sure he's not supposed to bring stuff to my house, son?" "Are you sure, God?" You know, and I start and other thoughts. I started thinking, God, we may have really missed it. You know, they look like they're pretty well off, and you know, we may just, here you go, afraid that you're going to really miss it again. And so we go up, knock on the door, and we, you know, those situations are awkward. They come in, you sit around the table. They don't know why we're here yet. You know, how you been doing? Good. How's your dog? He's doing good. How's your cat? Saw your grass. It looks nice. Eventually, you get around to it and say, we don't want to embarrass you or cause any problem, but we just both really felt like God wanted us to bring a bunch of groceries. We've got sacks of groceries out in the car. And if we've totally missed it, just tell us. But, man, you could see by the look on her face, the wife, she didn't say anything. If I remember, she got up in that beautiful kitchen, nice home, beautiful. Cupboards everywhere, you know, counter cupboards. She just goes over and she starts opening them up. They're empty. There's not hardly anything to eat in the house. I mean, you open the refrigerator door, just a few little things there. Let's start on, you know, here we go. We went out to the car. We started bringing that stuff in. She started cooking because the kids had not eaten supper. Before it was over, I heard that you were visiting and she's cooking and feeding the kids and we're fellowshipping and everything. Before it's over, I hear the Lord again say he doesn't have enough gas to get to work tomorrow in his car. I said, we need to get you some gas. I said, "You got enough? Where's the nearest station around here?" He said, "It's a quick trip, about 2 miles away." I said, "You got enough gas to get there?" He says, "I'm not sure if it'll make it or not." I said, "Well, let's go. I'll follow. We'll take both cars." So sure enough, he made it. We filled up his car with gas. Come home. People, life doesn't get a whole lot better than that. It doesn't get a whole lot better. God doesn't like it when little kids go to bed hungry. You know. Now, and in that case, he told us. We didn't even have any knowledge in the natural that there was any problem. He had to tell us. Because in that case, if you look at the natural, you would never do it. Well, they got a better house than me, a better car than me. They got better everything, you know. But see, the Lord knows. That's why it is so important to learn to pay the price. Pay the price. Learn to hear His voice. Then stay in there long enough to let the Holy Ghost transform you so that when you do hear it, you're able to obey it. Did you get anything out of that? Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. You did good. You did good.